This morning, as I was walking to the church from the car, a thought just came to me. Well, as Les was sharing, that Mike is in Haiti right now as we speak. But a year ago, a bunch of us that are here today were there too, and I was just thinking, man, it sure feels a lot different here than it did there, and what Mike is experiencing today. Because remember so clearly, after the church service, we went outside, and the pastor of that church had a big machete, and he chopped up a bunch of coconuts, and that's what we had right after the service. But it wasn't like standing outside here. It was a little warmer. Yeah, so this morning, as Brad was reading the scripture passage out of John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000, in reality, there was many more than 5,000, but the scriptures say that there were about 5,000 men there. Anyway, I had a few of my friends give me some ideas as to some things that I might be able to use for illustrating that, but I decided against passing fish around this morning. I didn't think sardines would go over too well. So anyway, Brad read the passage out of John chapter 6. The passage that I'll be looking a little bit more closely at this morning is taken out of Luke chapter 9. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only incident that we read about that all four gospel writers talk about. And there's many passages and many incidents that two or even three talk about, but this one particular one, all four of them talk about it, and they very, very specifically indicate specific things in very intricate detail. So I'll be reading Luke chapter 9, verses 10 to 17 to open. And the apostles, when they had returned, told them all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people," for there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them." When we read this story, I remember very clearly when I was quite young, my mother would always tell us Bible stories. And I know this was one story when my mom would ask if we had a favorite. This was my brother's favorite. He would always ask for this one. But at that point, didn't really understand as much as the great miracle that Jesus performed in feeding all those people with the very little bit that they started off with. As we study this passage, we find there's a lot more to it than just that Jesus fed all these people. It is the fourth sign miracle that Jesus performed. If you take your Bibles, we'll be mostly in Luke chapter 9, but I'll be going flip-flopping back and forth a little bit between the other Gospels too. In John 6, 32 to 36, we read, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' Then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But he said, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe.'" In this incident, we read also that when we read these words that Jesus spoke a little while after he had fed these people, it appears that many of the people missed the point of what Jesus was trying to make. Many of them understood it as, well, this is great. He's feeding us, and they wanted more of that. They wanted more of their needs met. He was not just, I guess we could say, kind of a delivery man for them, but he was the bread of life, just like he said. This morning, we want to take a close look at some of the things that the disciples learned through this incident. For I believe this was one of the great things that Jesus was, the reason for this incident also was to teach the disciples a very, very important lesson. And the context, the media context is exactly that, but we can apply that to our lives in very much the same way. So, Luke chapter 9, verse 10. And Luke kind of has an abbreviated version of this incident, but I chose this passage, so we'll look at some others too to bring in a little bit more detail. Verse 10, "And the apostles, when they had returned, told them all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida." You know, here we see or read about the disciples coming back from the mission that they were on, and they're tired. And we know how we are when we are tired. We've had a hard day behind us or weekend or whatever it may be. And sometimes we just want to be alone for a while, have some rest without people bothering us. I think we're all like that. And the same with the disciples here and Jesus too. And plus, Jesus has they have just received word that a little while before this of John the Baptist's death. So they're grieving over that too. So they just do need some time to be alone. In Mark 6:31, we read, "And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat.'" So it says in Mark 6:32, "So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves." You know, as we would think, finally, some peace and quiet, right? Because, I mean, this wasn't just a few people. There was many, many people. And when you're in a crowd of people for a long period of time, and not just being part of the crowd, but being asked questions and wanting to hear more from you, it can be very, very tiring. But how does Jesus respond to the people? I know differently than I do in many cases, because not necessarily that we would send people away, but we might, in our tone of voice and stuff, we might not make them feel extremely welcome. But the scriptures say in Mark 6:33, "But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him." Actually, I was thinking of verse 11 of Luke 9. "But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who had need of healing. As tired as they were, Jesus does not turn them away. We don't read of any complaining even, or that he felt irritated by them. Instead, he does exactly the opposite. He makes them feel welcome. And in verse 11 that I just read here, it says he received them and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. So often, I think we miss opportunities to share the good news with people because the timing isn't exactly right as we feel the timing should be. Jesus here takes this opportunity when he really wanted to be rest with his disciples and just reflect. He takes this as an opportunity to share the good news about the kingdom of God with the people. Mark chapter 6, verse 34, Mark adds here that, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and it says, and he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. We see here that Jesus doesn't do this out of obligation, that he feels he has to do this, but he does it willingly, and it says with compassion. We can see, although Jesus was fully God, we can also see the human side here also, the showing the compassion. Verse 12 and 13, the first part of 13 of chapter 9 in Luke. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitudes away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. Now, try to imagine the number of people that there were. When you think of the 5,000 men, there could have easily been double or triple that many people there. That's very, very many people. So the disciples' thinking was like, well, they knew for a fact, like, we have nothing here. There's no way we can provide for all these people. So their plan is, or I don't know if plan, but their thought is, you know what, we need to send these people away so that they can go get something to eat. They were failing to realize what God was just about to teach them. Because the response that Jesus gives them, I'm not sure exactly what they felt, but I'm thinking it must have startled them a little bit. When he says, you give them something to eat. Well, I'm not sure what the disciples were saying amongst themselves, but I'm thinking there was a little bit of discussion probably going on, like, what does he mean that we're supposed to give them something to eat? We have nothing here. So why does Jesus respond this way? In John chapter 6, verse 6, what Brad was reading before, we read, then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6, we read, but this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do, but he was about to teach the disciples a very important lesson. They had a very important lesson that they must learn, they needed to come to the realization and the understanding that it wasn't about what they had to offer, but it was all about Jesus, what he could do with the little that they had to offer. They needed to rely on him. They needed to trust him for the solution. In Mark and John, we hear the disciples protest. In John 6, verse 7, we read that Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little even. And as the NIV states, it was approximately 8 months' worth of wages. That's quite a bit of money. We read many other incidents in Scripture similar to this, where people were faced with that God was asking them to do things that at that point might not have made or didn't make sense to them, but God was going to use that to increase their faith and their trust in him and show them that if they trusted him, that great things could be accomplished. Another one is when we think of Gideon's army. They whittled that army down to 300, and the weapons they had to go fight the Midianites weren't conventional weapons that you would normally use in war. But the whole point was, trust me. Trust God. Do what he wants you to do, and he will do it for us. It wasn't about what Gideon and his army did, but it was about them trusting God and doing what he said they should do. Luke 9:13, we read, and they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go buy food for all these people. In Mark 6:38, we read that Jesus pushes them a little bit further yet, and he says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. In John chapter 6, verse 8, we read a detail that John fills in that the other writers leave out. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? You know, the disciples themselves don't have any bread at all, but they find a boy, as we read in John, who's willing to share what he has with the people. You know, it makes you think, too, that there might have been some thought, why does Jesus want to know exactly what we do have if he knows that it is so inadequate for the amount of people that there were? But the disciples report back and say that we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish unless we go and buy, more food for this crowd. So the disciples know they can't feed him, and Jesus is testing them here. And kind of the sequence, how things have gone so far is, we can't, they protest. And Jesus asks, what do you have? And they reply with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then the important thing, Jesus says, give them to me. Jesus waits for them here until to perform this miracle, until the disciples are willing to give the little that they have, even though they don't know exactly what Jesus is going to do with this. Even though it didn't really make a whole lot of sense to them to give that little bit, Jesus needed that to show that they were going to trust him for what he was going to do. In Luke 9, 14 and 15, we go on, and it says, for there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. So here we see Jesus organizing the people in an orderly manner to be able for the disciples to be able to distribute this food properly to them. Luke 9, verse 16, we read, "Then he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude." A very important thing that we need to realize in this verse is that the multiplication happened in Jesus' hands. It wasn't the disciples who did it. It was Jesus who kept on giving to them as the disciples were going around distributing the food to the people. It was Jesus who did it. The same, it's no different with us. When we give our resources, our time, everything we have to him, he's going to multiply it. So often we get frustrated and we feel totally inadequate to be able to do the things that God wants us to do. But I think so often, I know for myself, I come to the realization after a while, you know what? The reason it's not working is because I'm trying to do this by myself. We need to give it over to God and let him work out the details. He's waiting for us, just like he was waiting for the disciples here. In verse 17, we read, "So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them." You know, it makes you wonder, too, about the reasoning exactly why they would have picked up all those leftovers. And I believe one of the reasons might have been to show the disciples to that God did not just provide barely enough for them, for the need that they had, but he provided more than what was adequate for them. There was a great lesson to be learned here. Why did Jesus perform this miracle? Was it out of compassion? He could have dismissed the people early enough so they could have gotten home in time to get something to eat, but he decided against it. And you know, this miracle and some of the miracles he had done prior to this were causing him some problems from some of the people because of their them not catching on or not believing what he was trying to get across to them, that he was the Christ, he was the promised Messiah, the one who would take away their sins. We read in John chapter 6, verse 15, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to a mountain by himself alone." In John 6, 26, we read where Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." And again, many had missed the point of what Jesus was trying to teach them. Even though many missed the point of the miracle, I believe the disciples learned a great lesson in discipleship school that day. Kind of interesting, on Friday when we had our Bible study, we were just talking a little bit about the disciples and the great things that they accomplished for the kingdom. And we went just back and thought a little bit, you know, these weren't, Jesus didn't go to the Bible schools, to the seminaries, to try and pick the top students to be his disciples. Nothing against Bible schools or seminaries and people getting trained. However, the point is, Jesus used ordinary people, and he had to teach them along the way no different than what we are in our and us being disciples. It's a process. It takes time. But Jesus requires us to be faithful to him so that he can work through us. And in time, we grow as believers, and he can use us even more, and we can bear more fruit. Just like the disciples, we need to come to the realization, even though we might feel we have very little to offer, that God can use it and wants to use it. You don't have to raise your hand or say anything, but how many of you feel adequate to do the things that God wants you to do? Just to live, nothing spectacular, but just to live the Christian life on a daily basis. It's hard sometimes. And I feel that way often. I don't feel adequate. I don't feel adequate here this morning. But God is not asking us to do any more than what he has given to us. He's not requiring more from us than what he has entrusted to us, meaning our abilities, the talents he's given to us. Sometimes, I believe, we don't know exactly what abilities we all have because we're too scared to try things. We need to allow God to use us. And let's remember that God doesn't require more of us than what he has given to us. But when we give what we have to him, he can do great things. And you know, it's everyday things. You know, we think maybe of this incident here, like the two fish and the five loaves, and it's an awesome miracle, right? Feeding probably more than 10,000 people with that. We might not be faced with exactly the same situation, probably won't, where we see that multiplication happening. Sometimes we don't see what God is all going to do through our faithfulness. But God is going to do things when we are faithful. I think back of the disciples. The disciples were with Jesus for a few years. They spent a lot of time with him. And he taught them many things through his teaching, through the miracles that he did, being with him. And you know, it took the disciples a long time to actually catch on to some of the things that Jesus was trying to teach them. They were not perfect people. But God used them in a powerful way when they were ready to yield themselves to him. And my prayer for each one of us here this morning is to that we would just allow God to use us in the ways that he has created us and the abilities he's given to us. Let's not hold back. And I pray, too, that we will be encouraging one another. And I know we are. I'm so encouraged so often. And I'm just so thankful to be part of this body here. But I would like to challenge you and encourage you this morning to give what you have back to God. He wants to use it in a powerful way to build his kingdom. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for the wonderful love you have for us. Thank you for each individual here this morning. Also, the people that couldn't make it here this morning that are here regularly. I pray, Father, that you will continue to work in our hearts as we just take time for you, as we read your word, as we live for you. Help us to realize that we are inadequate to do the things you want us to do. But when we give to you what we do have, you will work with that. We do thank you for your love and just ask you to lead us, to guide us, and to be the people that you want us to be. Pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.